All right, here we go again. We're back in the new year, 2023, with another Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. This will be released on Saturday, the 7th of January, 2023. I've actually put in my notes 2022. Thanks for the emails, as usual. If you want to email us, info at sheepfarm.co.uk. Format of the shows, and I keep saying this because people do ask, we will try and release about four shows a month. Shows will be released on Saturday, so they'll be live on the website, sheepfarm.co.uk, every Saturday, unless we do a live one in midweek and we announce that we won't be doing one. That's the only time we won't. Some people say they don't get email notifications, but it doesn't really matter because all the shows will be on there on Saturday if there's a new show. You don't really need an email confirmation because they will be there on Saturday. Thanks to all the guests who appear. Thanks to everyone who listens, subscribes, comments. And thanks for the support of the members. We have had some YouTube issues. I mentioned this in the last one. I got a strike. They've lifted it now. We're out at Naughty Boy Corner. And you've got a 3-month now to stay clean, or you get another one. You get three. They kick you off. You know, the Communist Politburo meet up and say, they shouldn't have said that word there, that V word. Shouldn't have said that. How dare they mention that? Even though we're allowing these lot over here to mention it, but that lot over there can't mention it. So we're banned, we're shadow banned by the shadow people.
And you can, but you can play with, play piano with your knob.
But you can play piano with a knob. That's all right, Chris.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. There's not wrong with that. What are you drinking tonight? Which barrel of which piss are you swimming in tonight?
Got a bottle of Rioja.
Bottle of Rioja. Cork's already in.
Yeah, I've got it ready to open because I've been at work since 7 this morning. It's been a long day and it's, what, 8 o'clock at night now?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
but even I like that sound. You know, there's something about that sound. Yeah, I find it quite strange on YouTube though at the minute. I'm watching some shows. There's one show I watch on YouTube called Redacted. They're not, I wouldn't say middle of the road, but they're quite good American. And they do talk. I mean, they're a bit. They still think things are going to get sorted out. I think by politics, but I think it's an husband and wife show, and they're really good. It's really professional. I think they are journalists. Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's like a slicker UK column. Not better, just a different, you know, American version. Yeah. And it's a guy and his wife, and they do some very good stuff. They interviewed Whitney Webb the other day, or he did, and we're really good interview.
I do find it funny with Americans, and no disrespect to Americans at all, but it's funny, no matter how conspiratorial they are, they often go back to the liberal and Democrat thing.
Yeah.
And I have some hope. They'll say that it'd have been all right if the Democrats did this, or it'd have been all right. I don't really get why they're still talking about that anymore.
No, I thought that had been resolved.
Especially after that Storm the Capitol shit show. Jesus, if you think anything,
you're telling me that wasn't real.
I'm sure it happened, but bloody hell, I mean, come on, man.
What about that guy with that buffalo hat on?
Yeah, I had more. Yeah, I heard someone say I had more professional photos than they had at my wedding.
That were real. They undid hundreds of years of freedom by storming the White House.
I said that to someone. I said that was clearly bullshit. And they said, try telling that to that couple who died. If I remember rightly, what isn't it that 3 cops died in that vicinity that day? One of them had an heart attack in an office with nothing to do with whatever. I don't give a shit anyway. I don't care. If
but the show that tubby guy, copper on gate, looked like you were from the Night at the Museum type of character.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Night at the Museum or whatever it was. The guard. He couldn't even run. So his little legs were trying to get upstairs. They make out that it were him, don't they? But I don't think it actually was.
I don't know.
None of them look violent. They look like they were walking through an art museum.
Well, a lot of them looked as surprised to be let in as anybody else did.
Yeah.
Who were just walking through like, I can't believe we've got in. Yeah. They got in because they let you in, you know, beds.
Yeah. most violent country in the world just allows a load of crackheads into White
Possibly
House.
Most guarded building on the planet.
Yes.
Like the, you know, other stuff we talked about before, the Pentagon or whatever. All these buildings that are the most guarded on the planet. And they just let a load of douchebags walk in with a bear skin on his head.
Yeah. Come on. Buffalo head.
Come on, mate. Come on. I mean, you have to be mental. Yeah. I mean, but I think, was that another test off fight? Because that, to me...
I mean, is it...
I don't know. Have we gone totally mad and all that is real? Or is everyone else gone mad? Cause to look at that for me, it didn't have a second of truth in it, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, I've just put a video of a reverend on Sheep Farm 2. I don't know if you watched it.
I actually saw that.
The thumbnail, yeah.
No, I saw it yesterday somewhere.
Reverend Bongo.
I think he was in...
Reverend Bingo
in
Bongo.
Bingo Wings.
Yeah,
he was in...
Reverend Bingo Wings.
I mean, come on. Yeah, cat's out on YouTube. That's all right.
What, my wife said, I don't know, but somebody ought to sort his makeup on. We might need to go to some makeup lessons.
I thought that. I'm more offended by that orange eye makeup than anything else.
He might have been doing an Ant Music video beforehand in his mirror with his comb and his air dryer and his air guitar.
I wanted to say something because I was just thinking yesterday. It's irrelevant to anything really, but you know, my missus plays football on a Tuesday. I said that on purpose, paused to her feet start laughing, because every time she says to me I'm playing football on Tuesday, then immediately afterwards goes, what are you laughing at? If anyone knew my missus, you'd understand why.
It sounds like olive oil,
yeah, running around in high heels playing. She got in trouble the other week because some of them take it obviously quite seriously, and she got in trouble because she went for a drink after work with a mate and then went straight to football. So she had a glass of wine.
Didn't she do any warm-ups though?
Fucking what? As if they do any warm-ups.
what are they called again?
Trumpington Tornadoes. There ain't no tornadoes in that team, believe me.
No.
But anyway, you know, it's like anything. Some of them take it seriously. Anyway, it got me thinking, because I always slag off
football. It's better than Trumpington Dollops of Shite, isn't it?
I always slag off football. It just got me thinking, because I was saying it to my missus yesterday. I actually used to like playing football, but the trouble is, as soon as you start...
The trouble is you look like an emu.
Really, yeah, I was shit at it. I was shit at football. I was all right in goals. I was pretty good in goals because I had no choice other than to be in goals because I was no good at anything else. No, but that's not my point. My point is, this is the trouble with football, right? And other things, right? Is you can't... I couldn't meet up with my mates now, right? And go and have a kick around in the field. Because everyone just takes it super serious, don't they? Everyone turns into a prick. Yeah. You know, you can't just jovially have a game of... You know,
you could jovially have a game with you.
You could. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just... And it just got me thinking. They've tapped into that to everything, like art, jazz music, for instance. Right, that's what I was thinking about. So, and it got me thinking about it. They've made everything so serious. Like, say for instance, I like jazz music. Right, I don't claim to know anything about it. Right, I have dozens of albums that I like, and that's it. But what I've noticed is, if I said to someone I like jazz, it turns into a competition of who knows the most.
Yeah, there are some pretentious jazz bastards out there.
Yeah, well, there are. And art as well, and football, and films. I used to be a film snob and a bit of a music snob. In later years, I started listening to more jazz, but I'm not as obsessive as I was when I was younger. What I mean is it always turns into a competition, doesn't it?
Yeah, always. Everything does.
The art world and films, and they'll say, this is an important film, this is an important match, this is an important piece of art, this is important. It's not important, is it? It's a slice of fucking entertainment.
Yes.
End of story.
Well, not for financial value, then it becomes important.
That's more the point.
Put a qualification on it, and then it becomes important.
Well, that's more
status.
The point. Yeah. That's more the point. He has got financial value to them, not to us, but we're just trained to be told that it's important and to spread the word of how important it is.
Well, if you picked up a toilet roll and somebody said, yeah, that's 20 pence, you go, oh, there's 20 pence, I'll take a toilet roll. Mm. Or if somebody said, that's £1 million for that toilet roll, you go, you'd look at it totally differently, wouldn't you? And it is...
Well, that literally has happened in the art world, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have. And they're putting value on certain things. And to tune in, again, it's Edward Bernays that was Sigmund Freud. They tuned in to the putting value on sexuality in advertising to draw you in to basically mind control you. And now Edward Bernays' nephew's done the same with Netflix, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That is really what everything that is happening to us is about. It's about mind control and slavery.
But also,
and culling.
Like I was saying about the, you know, it's an important this and it's important that, and they get us all brainwashed and arguing with each other about what's fucking important and what ain't. Never mind liberals and Democrats or whatever. You know, we're talking music and art and everything. We, you know, everyone gets put you into these little pockets and he gives you the ammunition to argue with your fellow human being over absolutely fuck all, really.
Nothing.
It's nothing, is it?
Well, and they call that a discussion or a debate. Mm. And all it really is you trying to beat somebody up with what you think something is verbally and them trying to beat you with what they think it is verbally. And a lot of times you both actually agree.
Well, if it's the art world or if it's a film or a piece of music, it's an individual choice, isn't it?
Yes.
You can't say that that's better than that. Even and if also, you're listening to Kylie Minogue and you're listening to Beatles or whatever, it's still someone's written it and taken the time to produce it. And stuff,
so. Someone's written it. Yeah. Like we said that. But also, art in art per se is a mood thing, isn't it? One day you might like that song or that piece of art.
Yeah.
Next day you might just totally ignore it and it doesn't do anything to you.
Yeah. And it might change with decades.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll see a little thing in it and go, wow, that's, I like that bit. Likewise, a decent film, or I used to do when I used to watch them. But you can't say that with throwaway entertainment like football, because you move on to the next game or the next drama.
Never ends,
a football player leaving or whatever it might be. And they make out that it's really important to, you know, the world, and it's going to sort everything out. But what's it resolved? Nothing. And yet the next generation think it's going to resolve the same as the last generation, and nothing ever happens. Just like all the money they're throwing into the UN that ends up in...
Well, looking at the nonsense fact, the most important thing to get going was films and sport.
Yes. Yeah.
More important than some...
It's biggest control, isn't it?
Got shut down, yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest control. You have to ask why, don't you?
I think we know why. We know why all these things are there now. It's bleeding obvious, especially with all the programming. I mean, the programming's one thing, the scripts, the music, all of that type of thing, the frequency. But then you've got the flicker rates, you've got the other stuff that you can't see, the subliminal messaging that you can't see. But what else is it that we can't see? You know, most of these TVs and screens now have got Wi-Fi beaming out of them as well. What are they utilising with that stuff, you know?
As soon as they became called smart TVs, you've got to ask yourself. Yes. Funny, actually, we were on about that. And
smarter than new TV.
I've got an oldish TV, and it's not a smart TV. I've got two TVs. They're both quite old. But I thought I'd have a look at the day, and I was in Asda, and I had a look, and we were on about them getting cheap. You get a massive one for like £300 now.
I know. You get a multiplex for about a tenner.
Oh, bells and whistles.
You drive past people's house, and just this blue light shining on settee.
Surely there must be a market for retro TVs. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think there is, Chris, somehow.
No, I don't think there is either. I don't think I could watch one, to be fair.
No. Anyway, we'll talk about this John Campbell geezer.
You're obsessed with John Campbell, fat. You always wanted to talk about him.
Yeah.
You need to let it go, man.
They actually played him on that Redacted.
Right.
Yeah. And they played him, calling him Dr. John Campbell. I don't know if anybody's commented on their website to tell them that he ain't actually a medical doctor.
No, a few people emailed us about that, didn't they?
Well, yeah, we spoke about it last time. And what I did, I got a couple of emails, and I thought, yeah, I'll have a dig around and see. It didn't really take much digging around. I've never looked at him, right? I do a lot of research. Never looked at him because I'm not interested in him. Because
he always,
yeah, we do keep talking. But isn't that what mind control does? That's what programming does, isn't it?
I don't think that's mind control. Fight. I think you just when you get a bee in your bonnet, you just want to know.
Yeah. So. I'll say what he is first, and then we'll talk about it. He's got 2.6 million YouTube subs.
I thought you were going to say quid then.
580 million views. Anyway, he's a retired nurse educator, known for his videos regarding the 91 divot pandemic. His videos received praise early in the pandemic, but later veered into misinformation. I'm not going to go into what misinformation we're talking about, but he had a nursing diploma from the University of London. He's got an Open University BSc. He's got a University of Lancaster Masters and a PhD from the University of Bolton. Now, his PhDs, none of them are for being a medical doctor. Let's get that straight. He's a nurse, right?
What are they for
them? Well, one of them's his nursing diploma that he got from Bolton University. And he received a PhD for his work on developing methods of teaching via digital media, such as online videos.
All right.
Right. So he's a doctor of online videos. He's a doctor of fucking blockbusters. If anything, right, this guy is misled people. Like, this is my view. And I'm sorry if I annoy you, John. You're welcome on the show to talk to us if you want to, or any day. My view is this, that you're not a medical doctor. People who were listening to you in 2020, 2021, and you were telling them to go and have the jab or stay at home and follow the mantra that these tyrannical bastards have told us to do for the last 3 years, they thought you were a doctor. Mm. They thought you were a doctor. You've misled them. You aren't a medical doctor. You know?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, you wouldn't pray out in front of your name, should you?
Well, legally, he probably can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he could be a doctor in it.
If you put John Campbell, PhD, for argument's sake, yeah, that would be a better, in my opinion.
Oh, it sounds a bit braggy if someone does that, though.
Well, no, because that is what you do. You put John Campbell, PhD.
But I mean, what I'm saying is by putting doctor.
Like, you'd put Christian Flamingo Legs.
No, Christian Brave Warrior Waters.
I'd be Dom, not particularly fat.
Not particularly fat Waters.
Anyway, so I've got a problem with that because that's misleading, is that? And I'm sorry, John, if you disagree with me, but I think that you. Personally, I didn't take any notice of what you were saying anyway in 2020 and 2021 because you were telling everybody to have the jab, so I've got no time for that one.
Your anger is towards that he's kind of flip-flopped and unapologised, I think.
Do you know what? I give him a 10 if he's flip-flopped, right? Yeah. If he's jumped over the other side of the fence, 100%, I'm on your side, man. Because, do you know, we need people from that side to come to this side to realise what's happened, you know? Just like that, is it Dr. Nassim Malata or whatever he's called? Similar sort of carry on. He's seen, but he's still going around saying, all the other jabs are fine though.
Mm.
You know, even though statins are and all the drugs they're giving people, but them vaccines there, we're giving them for years as safety. No, you need to look into it, mate, because the same companies are making these poisoning morphos are making them.
Mm.
You can't say that carte blanche now. All bets are off. All things are off the table. Because if you thought that 3 years ago, fine. Now you can't say that. Or you shouldn't say that. You should say, I haven't looked into these yet. I'm going to do, though.
Yeah.
That's it. Because if you're staking your claim that all them other ones are healthy and you haven't looked into how many excess deaths there are on them...
And he's a doctor, isn't he?
He's a doctor. He's a full-blown doctor. He was a GP. I think he's a cardiologist.
So without sounding like a numpty, I'd probably be right to say I've probably looked into them previous jibber jabbers more than that doctor has.
Yes.
Because I looked into them a lot before I had my nipper 4 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
If there's one thing I've got an issue with, it's not that you want an apology. They were calling out people.
Yeah, it's like the hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy. Yeah.
They were calling out people like me and you in 2020 and 2021. No problem for that. They were scared. They thought, or they were brainwashed. They thought that it were all right. But now all of a sudden, using the same sort of tactics as they used before to work out that the vaccines were going to work, now they worked out that they're not going to work because of all these stats like Campbell uses with his fountain pen and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah?
Right, but I do have an issue with anyone having got anybody to do anything, to be honest with you, because, you know, you can't... I mean, to us, it was just a circus sideshow act. It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But getting angry and screaming at people to do what you want them to do.
I'm not saying he was screaming at people.
No, he wasn't. I'm just saying in general. You know, you did see that exist. From both sides, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, you saw the untapped get as angry as the tapped.
Well, some of the untapped won't accept anything from, you know, some of the unvaccinated, some people I know are that still that bitter and twisted about what's going on. And I understand that. They will not have any, you know, they don't feel sorry for anybody who's injured or whatever. I have the, I'm in the middle of the road somewhere there on that one, because I can understand why people, because it annoys me. However, I can also sympathise that people are injured.
Mm.
What beggars belief with me is that, to me, and we're speaking of people that have been researching for many years, this was so obvious that the stupidity and mind control is so obvious to me that I can't believe that somebody were banging pots and pans on the doorstep at 8 o'clock every Tuesday.
Because, me neither, but the only thing that's going to win this underground spiritual war, if you like, is forgiveness and not being too angry at your fellow human being, I think.
Yeah. But
keep, it all goes away then, doesn't it?
However, but you've also got to keep that door open, sadly, whether we like it or not. Because if Dr. Malata thinks all other jabs work, what happens when they start saying, well, flu jab's all right, though.
Yeah.
You need to have flu jab. We'll mandate that. What, are you on their side then, Dr. Malata? You know? Mm. Is that all right then? Because let me tell you, same thing will happen.
Flu mist's all right, though.
Oh, flu mist's all right, because that just sprays straight into kids' brains.
Yeah.
That's pretty harmless, is that?
No, it does make you angry when you think about it, doesn't it? Because, I mean, why should someone, and this is even before the previous nonsense, why should someone like me be terrified of not getting their nipper jibby jab? Not because they're worried that someone's going to answer, just worried of what's going to come down on them, go to the doctor. You know, one doctor got quite nasty with us because we hadn't jibby jabbed our child.
Mm.
Well, you'd be visiting this hospital a lot more, won't you, in the future?
Yeah.
That's what she said to us.
I know.
Like, with a sneer, like, quite spitting. And then you realise later, oh, is that because she didn't get you 15 quid?
No, nobody wants to look around, sadly. And again, we've talked about that. But the thing I've got a problem with, like I was just going to say then, is I don't want somebody to come on and go, oh, I'm really sorry I did that. That's not what I mean. I'm on about more about recognition.
I made a mistake. You
know? I made a mistake. I were wrong. These bastard lied to me. Mm. I'm all on that one, you know?
Yeah, that's what I have now, to say, actually.
A lot of people think that this guy's working for government and his misinformation is getting in. I don't know the guy, right? If I'm totally honest, my opinion, I can't be honest because I don't know, my opinion is that I think he's flipped over other side. Everyone's entitled to do that. What I don't understand is we've got shot 14,000 subscribers. I put a video on that's got nothing to do with Divock on YouTube. Don't even put it live and it gets banned.
Mm.
He's talking about all these things, mentioning COVID and all the other nonsense. And he's got 2.5 million subscribers.
Mm.
Don't work that. I can't work that one out.
I never switched off.
No, I think he said he's had a ban. Likewise with Russell Brand.
Yeah, but
Worldwide Brand.
Let's say if they were placed there, they're going to get a ban, aren't they, to make them look more authentic.
Yeah, but I also seen him with that, you know, them things that YouTube send people with that silver plaque with YouTube.
I saw that. Yeah. What does that mean?
That means you've got so many subscribers, so many views and stuff like that.
Right.
You're in the YouTube club.
Got a little placard.
Yeah.
Love the placards and medals, don't
you? YouTube double ender.
I was thinking that over there. Actually, I saw something about, about royalty. And they just love medals and plaques. I was thinking, actually, they love dishing out medals and diplomas and OBEs and all that shite, right? That means nothing, right?
Nothing. It's got a nice sash, though.
But they love all that, like, regimental, just dishing it out. And then what happens is, then we do, don't we? Like,
but that comes back to that nonsense you were talking about at the beginning, Chris.
Yeah, but then we get a medal and we're like, I got a medal. It's just a fucking piece of tin around your head.
Yeah.
You know?
I called it
indoctrination in itself, isn't it?
Well, it's an invented purpose.
Yeah.
It's not a real purpose in life. So they've invented a purpose for humans, which is competition.
Yeah.
And it's all ego-based.
Yeah.
And the invented purpose then means you get awarded or win recognitions. And the recognitions are the medals. So then you can say, I did this because I jumped out of a trench, or I won a football game, or I did this.
Mm.
And really, that doesn't stand for anything.
Nothing.
And people, I'm sorry if people know, we've got people who were in armies and stuff like that. I ain't saying that these people weren't brave, but they were fighting for these bastards that funding all this shit. They didn't mean anything to them people that jumped out.
No, they were used.
They were used. By the same people that are rolling out this spearing of everybody. I'm sorry, that is from all my research. Do you know what? About 10 minutes ago, we're doing some research on, as I'm just finishing the first, we're going to record the first part of the Huxley dynasty. Yeah. And it struck me when I was doing it how, and I did it quite by accident, this. I did the introduction and I thought, I'm going to do this as though I'm writing a book. So I wrote the introduction as though I'm writing a book. So we'll do the first hour, whatever, will be the introduction. And they introduced certain characters in there who are also similar to, because the Huxleys reminded me of an academic dynasty. Mm. That's what it reminded me of. But I said, there are other families that are academic dynasties. Susan Mickey, for argument's sake. Mm. Yeah. Unknowingly though, Chris, when I carried on working through, right, there were some of the people that her parents work with on the Enigma Code are related to the Huxleys.
Right.
And then I meant, further down the line, because Huxley taught Orwell, there's a link back round to Orwell and C.S. Lewis,
yeah,
via Tolkien. C.S. Tolkien was C.S. Lewis's best friend.
I knew that, I think. Right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Tolkien taught and mentored Orwell's wife.
Right.
Right.
What did she do?
She worked for the Ministry of...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're already there, aren't you? Ministry.
Well, it's not just that, Chris, right? During World War II, right? And she worked... Well, I'm giving a bit of thing away here, but...
Don't matter. Teaser.
Yeah.
Teaser,
yeah.
Trailer.
She worked for... Where are we here now? Quite... Do you know when you find someone, you think, wow.
Says to me, though, Fatty, when you come out with this stuff is... I know they call them the 1% or the 10%, but their entire families are like the froth of the pint of beer, if you like.
Yes,
and they're just managing all the rest of us underneath, aren't they?
Yeah,
through academia, through films, through being royals, being politicians, every single aspect.
So Orwell's wife, first wife, was called Eileen O'Shaughnessy, and she was a teacher at Oxford. Tolkien was a teacher at Oxford, and she became then Orwell's wife during World War II. She worked for the censorship department of the Ministry of Information.
Fucking hell. Maybe that's where he got his ideas from.
Chris. Eileen may have had a large influence on Orwell's writing, because that's not all. Orwell's novel, 1984, may have been influenced by one of Eileen's poems. End of the Century. It was called End of the Century, 1984. Although the poem was written a year before they met, there are some similarities between the futuristic vision of Eileen's poem and that in 1984, including the use of mind control and the eradication of personal freedom by a police state.
I'm starting to think maybe she was his controller.
Do you know what, Chris? You've just said the...
Is that what you're thinking?
That I mean, you've only listened to this, right? And I thought that she died very... suddenly as well, right, while he were working in France. She worked for an intelligence part of government, well, she, on propaganda, right? She worked for the Ministry of Information. Wow. What did he write about? The Ministry of Truth?
Yeah, Ministry of Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Because we've talked about this before, whether Orwell even existed as we know him, because there's only like 2 or 3 photos of him. What I'm saying is, fire. I've read his books, right? Yeah. And his first ones are all about, how do you say it? Social problems, for instance.
Right.
Okay. There's one in Wigan about coal miners, for instance. Then there's the one in where he goes in Paris and London, and he's working as a kitchen porter in kitchens. Now, I think that's when I first started reading these other stuff, because I was interested in that, you know, and they're like sawdust on the floor and all that stuff. So he goes from all that, and then he writes, Animal Farm and 1984, which gets super political. Mm. And you would hazard, I mean, just as a guess, is that the same guy who wrote those other books? Who knows? You know, we'll never know.
It looks, well, again, look at this, right? George Orwell worked with the Information Research Department, so another arm of the of the secret agencies, right? Which was a Cold War propaganda department of the British Foreign Office, right?
Well, we've answered the question.
You've just answered the question there. Yeah. But listen to this. His books, right, the Information Research Department, they released his books. So they translated Animal Farm into 16 languages and released it into 14 countries.
Yeah. So whoever has produced that book...
Team of writers, sounds to me.
Yeah, well, team of writers, or whether they used Orwell himself. And also 1984 is in every school fair. So, again, like everything else, you've got a financial angle because you're selling that book.
Yeah, to every Brave school. New World, 1984, Animal Farm, every school.
I don't know if Brave New World is so much, but them two, definitely. But what I mean is, you've got the financial angle, which is whoever made that book and produced it. Whether
Lady Bird, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, whoever's getting the royalties. Mm. Imagine getting a book into every school. Yeah. It's on every, you know.
Free.
School's reading.
As in, you've just got that door open. Yeah.
So Animal Farm and 1984.
Well, the people that have got the book in there is the Information Research Department. Sounds very communist in itself. So he's writing books anti-communism that really, is pushing communism.
Yeah, pushing the future,
pushing the communistic dogma in a democratic way. Mm. So you're voting for communism, basically, or fascism,
or is it even the fact that we do say Big Brother are watching us, but it's not as bad as putting a cage around me with a rat in it.
No.
Yeah.
Just 5G.
You said, it's not as bad as China, though. In China, they do this.
But it is interesting, the DNA checking. The one other thing, I'll just mention this. Many of the families that Huxley's linked with, right, were part of an organisation called the Lunar Society. As in Moon Society. And their children were called Lunar Children.
Right. Moonchild.
Moonchild. Which, I mean, it's very psychedelic as well, you could say, couldn't you? But also it's... and a lot of them... there were one story where... I forget whose parents it were now, but went to the same school as Aleister Crowley and Chris Whitty. Do you remember they went there? And, you know, so all these same things are... coming up again and again.
Well, also,
and again.
I know most people know this, but the fact that Huxley's book, Doors of Perception, was where the Doors took their name from. Then you got Doors, Gulf of Tonkin, etc. All just a big circus show again.
Yeah. That's it. Again, you open these doors up, right? And
of Perception. Like,
yeah, Doors of Perception, yeah. But again, open the door. The Doors of Perception is a prime example. I've never actually read the book.
Me neither.
But I know the doors are called the Doors because.
Well,
the doors
I know.
Of
I remember someone wanging on to me about. I know over the years, and a load of people wanged on to me about it, how amazing it is.
Do you know what? It's because people used to say, "Well, that cool," and I thought,
exactly. Have you? What do you mean you've not read it? No, fuck off. I'm not reading it. I get my back up every time someone tells me to watch, read, or do anything like that. But anyway, they re-released it. I remember they re-released it with Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison on the front.
That's right.
You know when the Doors film came out.
Yeah.
And I think I might be wrong, but I think one of the things is, did Aldous Huxley, did he take acid on his deathbed or something?
Yes. Yeah. He did. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the thing. Oh, yeah, it's so cool. And he took acid on his deathbed. Just part of the same Beatles
bollocks
Doors movement to get everyone off the tits, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is weird. I mean, on a psyop front, you know, they're trying to get everyone to take these drugs that open the minds, but
it really closes them.
But what I don't know, what does it do? Who knows?
Well, again, a lot of people now are on drugs, even if it's prescription.
I was going to say, what the fuck they do. Well, they're probably worse than street drugs, aren't they, to be honest?
I came across a really strange story because, like always, these things lead you into. Not necessarily dark places, but a door opens and you go, I'll have a look in there. And you go, okay, no. Then it takes you into another 10 doors. And it's
Doors of Perception.
Doors of Perception. That's what it is, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
But there was C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien were best friends.
Very similar stories, aren't they?
Yeah. Also linked to the Freuds. And one of the weirdest stories were a lady who stayed with the Lewises during World War II. She was 16 and evacuated to...
The Lewises are the Lion, Witch and Wardrobe.
Yeah, Narnia and that, yeah. She and the two sisters were evacuated from London to escape the Blitz in the summer of 1943 at the age of 16. And she moved in with the Lewises at their home, the Kilns, in Ringshurst, Oxford, as a housekeeper. As it happened, her favourite writer was C.S. Lewis. And initially, she had no idea she was living in the same house as the man.
What?
Alarm bells are going already. Yeah. She developed what she later called a tremendous crush on Lewis.
Right.
She was 16. Lewis was 45.
Do you know what? You don't even want to think about that old Blitz evacuate the children thing, do you?
Well, again, often children, it's just, we know what shenanigans went on. They got beaten, they got whatever, traumatized.
I mean, would you
imagine a whole generation of kids that got traumatized?
Would you let your,
I don't understand.
No way.
No, not happening.
I'd rather perish with them, unfortunately, for them.
But listen, this is what she wrote this is what Lewis wrote to Fluitt's mother. I have never really met anything like her usefulness and patience and kindness, and shall feel deeply in debt to her as long as I live.
Right, fucking hell. How creepy is that?
Fluitt was an aspiring actress. She had a stage name of Jill Raymond. She married Clement Freud in 1950.
Right, bloody hell. Not creepy at all.
No, it's not. She was the inspiration for Lucy Pevensie, or Pevines, in Chronicles of Narnia. Not Mean Source Chronicles, yeah. Chronicles of Narnia. So, well, anyway, I will go into that, but so she met Clement Freud, and there's a bit of a story, obviously, behind that about what happened afterwards and what she did.
Clement Freud?
Eh? He was the one who lived in Portugal when Richard Diol did that thing on
Madame McCann. Who was possibly
who were mates with fat twat liberal guy, Cyril Smith.
When you get into that, I know my missus, she's a big like art fan, and you've got Lucian Freud, Freud, whatever you want to say. And he's I think him along with Francis Bacon is the I think he's dead. He's dead now. But the highest, his paintings go for the most money, basically.
Right. Of any British
artist, yeah.
Right.
I mean, Lucian Freud's paintings are pretty fucking amazing, to be fair.
Right.
But my missus said she must have read a book on him. She says he's a total creep.
Right.
So that'd be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
Well, again, the other academic families who are sort of, you can sort of link with the Huxleys are the Freuds.
Yeah.
They're like academic royalty.
Yeah.
And it's
funny they've covered every angle there, Fatty. So if you take the Huxleys and the Freuds and put them all together, I'm sure we've said this before, but you've got films now, obviously, books, academia, even the art world. And I think the art world is totally linked to all the propaganda.
All of it is.
Yeah.
All of it is. And the reason I bring up C.S. Lewis is because he died on the same day as Huxley and JFK.
Right. What date is that then?
22nd of November, 1963.
I didn't know that.
All three of them died on the same day.
Hmm.
Not that I think there were anything odd about them dying on the same day, but...
Well, I would say there is, actually.
Well, I would say there is as well, but I haven't found a link to say why there is. Anyway.
Is it numerological, maybe?
I don't know. Well, one strange thing I found that I didn't find in Susan Mickey's thing when I did her... originally, is that I knew that on a reason I bring Susan Mickey up, it's a strange mix, isn't it, really, that her parents were part of the Enigma Code, her parents were part of the Enigma Code breaking, I believe, which meant they probably worked with Alan Turing, who was the guy who was done for homophobia after the war in the film. If you watch the film, Benedict Cumberbatch,
The Imitation Game. Yeah, I never watched it. But
Susan Mickey's ex-husband were descended from like the earls of whatever, but his mother's side was related to his grandmother was half Spanish and was named after her godmother, the Infantala of Spain, sister of King Alfonso. So all of a sudden now you've got Mickey's kids have probably got some kind of relation to Spanish royalty.
Right.
Just
what was that Enigma code about? What did they break a code for?
Well, the Germans had a communication system called Enigma, I think it was. Mm. And they were in like submarines and battleships and stuff like that. And they managed to get a couple of them out of like submarines and a battleship before they sank.
Right. And that guy, the Turing guy.
Well, no, there were a whole team. The whole team of
But no, the only reason I'm asking, because I've not watched that film, but yeah. I would suggest that whole star is bollocks.
Well, one thing they didn't tell you in that film is that he's something like a 15th cousin of Aldous Huxley.
Right, well, there you go. I mean, and they've just recently made a Hollywood film about it. Would you guess that that's just like a hero story of bollocks?
Well, it looks to me...
broke a code and that made us get a load of nets.
The whole thing with Bletchley Park is that the government didn't buy Bletchley Park, and the whole history behind Bletchley Park is an interesting one itself, how it was built and all this type of stuff. And so the guy who was called Q, right?
Right. Ah, right.
He bought Bletchley Park because he was descended from a wealthy family, right? And he bought it, and they used it for the HQ, and he was one of the founders of MI6.
Who the hens used for James Bond.
Exactly. So again, we're coming back into fucking DreamWorks land, aren't we?
Yeah. Cue a nonsense.
Yeah. now, what could it be? I'd say it'd be more likely to some kind of mind control operation against British public, if you ask me. But anyway.
Yeah. But what I mean is the Enigma code thing sounds like a propaganda story to me.
I don't know if it were propaganda. I'm sure some of it were used as propaganda. I don't know if it was all.
Well, the
propaganda.
Fact they just made a film about it, I would hazard a guess.
Yeah. One other interesting part was that I used Tim Berners-Lee in this from some research I'd done, but his father made the Ferranti Mark I, which was a early AI computer in I think it was 40s or 50s anyway. Obviously, Tim Berners-Lee didn't have any background. He just invented www dot in his garage. His instruction set was a hoot command, which enabled the machine to give ordinary feedback to operators. So he invented basically a computer talking back to you.
Right. AI, I would
and the
say.
Sound generated could be altered in pitch and feature. A feature which was exploited when the Mark I made the earliest known recording of computer generated music, playing a medley which included "God Save the King," "Ba Ba Black Sheep," and "In the Mood."
Can't say that.
Yeah, "Ba Ba Dark Coloured Sheep,"
"Ba Ba Different Sheep,"
yeah, "Ba Ba Ethnic Sheep," yeah,
"Dual Heritage Sheep."
But no, anyway, it is. I find this type. That's why I'm not interested in Dr. John Campbell. Went really a doctor of medicine, Campbell.
See, you say you don't care about him. You mildly
I still
obsessed.
Mentioned him, you know. Just like I'm not that bothered about you calling me not particularly fat, but I still mentioned it because it's funny. Yeah. but yeah, no, so that's what I'm working on at the minute, that intro to that. Now,
you've been working on that that one for probably going on a year.
It will last February, but I haven't been working on this bit. You should see how much I've actually got.
If you could see his goggly eyes rolling around in his head as he says that.
Should see how much I've got. And not only am I working on that, but I've been doing a full bloodline research on Klaus Schwab and some really interesting stuff in that. Real interesting stuff where that leads to.
Again, I know we skirted over it, but there's this Schwabian... art movement as well.
Schwabian art movement, Schwabian wars, all sorts of different. Well, the Schwab name is linked to all these major names from Frankfurt. So they came out of Frankfurt, all these names that we know running the banking fraternities and all sorts of other stuff, and good diamond mining, the Oppenheimers and stuff. They're all linked to the same, these few, same few names. Even the Rockefellers, they were called, what was their surname now? They weren't called the Rockefellers anyway. But it was a similar type of name. Let me find that. It's going to annoy me if I don't.
All part of the froth on the paint.
Yeah. Rockin' fella. R-E-N. It's a slight change there. But they were part of the Huguenots.
I always think about that in Frick
Springmeyer. Rockenfeld, that's what
I always think about that in Frick Springmeyer, but when he says they don't actually really care about the names.
No.
It's all about, is that right? Is that what he said? It's all
well,
about
the that's what he said, but when you're doing this type of work, you can see, because I think they actually like
No, what
it.
I mean is, they do like the names, but they're willing to drop them.
But the name's irrelevant because they know.
Yeah exactly.
Well, out of all this research, what it gets to me, and I say this sort of thing at the end, is that the level of detail that whoever's controlling this stuff goes into to find the right person with the right bloodline, it's fucking astounding. Because when you look at Johnson going through Oxford, all them people that went through Oxford at that one particular time, and in that same year, in that same class, in that same club, you had Cameron, Johnson, who'd gone to be prime ministers. The odds of that happening, Chris, right? Yeah. The odds of that happening, you'd never get odds of that. It just wouldn't happen.
No, not in the real world.
No.
And it almost rattles in my head of Omen 2. Do you remember in Omen 2 where
Vaguely.
The kid he's the devil kid, obviously.
Yeah.
And he joins the military academy. And all the guys, he's like, bosses, they all know who he is, but he doesn't know.
Right. It's like that because that's like, they don't have, it's like there's some kind of AI parasite that automatically knows that that's the person. Whereas in my mind, I'm thinking somebody's got to write all this and do all these genealogy reports and all these people.
Yeah, their breed don't even have to do that.
Maybe they just sense that this person.
In fact, I'm going to have to watch that again, actually. In Omen 2, right, he gets into trouble, does the Damien, you know, evil character, because he didn't know that he's the demon until later on in Omen 2. But he goes, he's in the military academy, and he goes, and it's Lance Hetherington who plays Bishop in Aliens. And he's the first one who actually says to him, we know who you are. You know, we're here to look after you. Is there anything you need, kind of thing? And the kid's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's because good films, them, actually. Good spooky fucking films.
Could you see that happening, right, in number 10 Downing Street? Right, Johnson's just got in, right?
Yeah.
So we know who you are, Boris. What are you on about? Well, I'm Boris Johnson. No, you're not Boris Johnson. You're... this, that, and the other. We want you to put this goat's head on. Get your ass cheeks out.
You don't know, do you, Fire? I mean, do you know, through the nonsense, I often almost visualised in my head, you know, when Blow Blow Johnson stood outside, talking outside number 10, and he goes inside to where he lives, apparently. You know, you just think... Do you know what I mean? Where are you going? What are you doing? Do you go into an elevator and just shoot down to the core of the earth and bleh, I don't know. You just turn into a black blob.
That time when he got Divock and he came back out and it looked like he'd been in the jaws of hell. His eyes would look like they're popping out. He didn't even look like the same guy.
Yeah. And then like we said this before, from the beginning when he was sat with his new trophy wife. And he's like, we'll get through this, da-da-da, to that bit, what you said.
Yeah.
Is that when Lance Hetherington, I can never say his name, Lance Hetherington, Bishop out of Aliens, had him a little sit down and talk to him?
We
know who you are.
I mean, that'd be shit. That would shit you up, wouldn't it?
This is what we need you to do.
Yeah. Oh, hey, oh, hey. Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. Who did the music to that now?
I think it's an old opera.
Was it Tubular Bells that did?
No, that's Exorcist.
He came up in some research that I did on Huxley.
All right.
Mike Oldfield.
He's a weird... Do you know what? I don't know anything about Pink Floyd.
Right.
And they're from Cambridge, aren't they?
No, he's not. He wasn't in Pink... Tubular Bells wasn't in Pink Floyd.
Yep.
Mike Tubular Bells Oldfield.
Sorry. I retract everything I just said. I've got that to wrong. I know nothing.
It came up in my research as The Children of the Sun.
Right.
Right. Which sounds creepy in itself.
And wasn't that played at the Olympics, the one, the famous one?
No, yeah, it was. Yeah.
He played it live on stage.
He played it live, The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah, it is.
But when you link it to The Exorcist.
And then that thing with all the kids in the beds and stuff.
Yeah.
And what came after that Olympic thing.
Yeah.
Then it gets a bit creepy, doesn't it?
You're just a tad, yeah. Just a
and tad. I got it totally wrong with Pink Floyd.
But you were in a band with his sister called Children of the Sun.
Oh, God.
And, and they didn't do, this was in the 60s, and it's on a link to Aldous Huxley. And Children of the Sun is some kind of ritualistic type operation that went on.
You couldn't, not the band,
because what it took me to was the band Children of the Sun. Not,
but that sounds like a cult to me.
That's what it sounds like to me. Too many links to different things, but to follow down. Right, let's crack on. there's been a few people over Christmas dropping, and I lost track, to be honest with you. We're getting that. Saw that many emails, you sending me some, people sending me some, or even seeing them myself, and I just lost track of it. No, it's Ed's done a video for about 7 or 8 minutes on sports people who have dropped in the last 2 years. Somebody sent me that email about that, and Ed's done a video on it. It's a good video talking about that and basically scratching his head why people can't notice that this is happening to super fit athletes, hundreds of people, not just dropping dead, but ill, having to wear heart monitors. I mean, people around us now, you know, my wife told me two people the other day dropped. It's just happening so much more. NFL star last night in a critical condition after collapsing live on a game. 24-year-old, Chris.
24.
I mean, 24. You're talking players here, right? You can't even imagine how fit these guys are. You can't imagine how fit these blokes are.
Was he all right?
He's in a critical condition. That's all it says. But they tried making out that he just hurt his shoulder in press. Oh, he's hurt his shoulder. But they abandoned game. I mean,
you don't abandon
his shoulder and they abandoned game. I mean, all his mates on the floor crying, their hands on the praying and stuff like that. You know?
Because he's hurt his shoulder.
Because he's hurt his shoulder. I mean, come on.
I mean, there is moments when you, like, when you say things like that. Because, I mean...
Is that ritualistic?
What?
All them people watching, it's live on television, and he drops.
I don't think so, but you would think whoever's doing the numbers, who did the numbers at the beginning, I was thinking about this today, whoever did the numbers at the beginning of this thing must have known the numbers. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
There will be someone crunching those numbers.
Yeah, you said all along, it's not an experiment because somebody knows.
Somebody fucking knows.
Yeah.
How can it be an experiment?
Yeah.
No way.
An experimental jab. There is no way it can be.
No way. Yeah. It will have been tried and tested on human beings somewhere at some point. Yes. God knows where. And
clones knows or whatever.
How, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But, oh, shit. They must have taken into account the numbers of people who were semi-famous or famous who are like that guy you're on about. And I don't know, how many people is that going to switch over? Or I don't know, if you haven't switched over now, I don't think...
Well, if you can't notice people around you...
I haven't noticed anything around me, fat, other than I sent you a thing the other day where I'm working at the minute, and it was just a text back to me, you know, to a friend of mine. He had a good, my dad's in hospital and so-and-so's, someone else has died. And you just think, is that, am I seeing that? I've never seen that in one email that someone's...
Well, three people, wasn't it? His dad were in hospital, somebody had died, and then somebody died a couple of weeks ago.
You don't have to elaborate on it. but is that normal? Did I ever see that before? I don't think
no.
so. But
you never told me about that before 2021.
No. But again, is the whole point, is it the forgetfulness, and then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? By for instance, Mary mentioning myocarditis and...
Myocarditis, yeah.
Yeah, and defibrillators, as I can say.
Not myocarditis, that sounds like something off a computer game.
Yeah, but all this stuff though...
Super Mario.
Once it's been out there, it reminds me of going back to the terrorist attacks. You know, they plug them and plug them and plug them until you don't remember a time when they didn't exist. And they bring up the, you know, defibs and the heart, these troubles. And then it gets to a point, 6 months, a year later, no one remembers when it didn't exist except for fucking nut jobs like us. But they didn't exist before.
That didn't exist.
Celebrities croaking.
Dropping like flies.
And not telling you why they've died. That's the main point. Not saying why.
Yeah. They used to make a big deal of telling you how a celebrity died.
Like I said to you the other day, the only ones who didn't get told were big celebrities like Prince and George Michael. You didn't really get a clear view of what happened to him.
No.
Michael Jackson, which is weird in itself.
I think this is even more different, isn't it? Because people are collapsing live on television.
Yeah.
Or they're at an age where it shouldn't be happening.
But what I mean is, if they were after them numbers, it doesn't have to be ritualistic because they are going to go on TV. That's got to happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to happen at some point, hasn't it?
If it's one in, I saw one guy say it's one in 800 people, right? Which didn't sound a lot, but it is a lot. And if one in 800 people have an adverse or something happens to them, you're going to see some of them on TV.
So in itself, it's ritualistic, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you've got thousands of people gathered together in a football match or in a pop concert or whatever, that's a reflection
especially if you know that adds more pressure and that's going to cause more issues because of what you've given them. Gary Speed's widow.
That was a horrible story. Awful.
He seemed a right nice guy, did Gary Speed. I don't know what her husband who's just passed away were like.
I read that and I know nothing about sport, right? But I remember you telling me about him. I remember that happening because I remember it being quite shocking at the time. Was that 10 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
And I don't know, it's because I don't watch sport, but then it was more to the fact, because I told my missus that I read that article and her husband, and you're like, fucking hell. So it's probably took her 10 years, 12 years to meet someone else.
Yeah, get over it all.
Got two kids. Yeah, and you know, all the stress of, and you know, can I move on or can I not move on? You can imagine the stress and horribleness. Then she marries that guy, and like 3 months later, he's died, hasn't he?
Yeah.
What did he die of?
Rapid onset.
Right.
Like was it
a brain tumor? Was it?
Yeah. Rapid onset. I don't know. And then you sent me a story. Hormone therapy is safe and effective for the vast majority. So this is going to shit people up now, women who are going through the change and need HRT. Jane Davis had a sudden heart attack at 50-year-old after hormone replacement therapy. So they can say it was after hormone replacement therapy, but if you have a jab and have it, they can't say that. It's weird, that, isn't it?
Well, the reason I sent you that is pricked my ears up because if you remember the story of hormone replacement therapy, I started wanging on about it because it was in all the news. Yeah. And I didn't even know what it was for until my sister told me it was for. Menopause, right? As a bloke, I wouldn't know. But they were wanging on about it. Davina McCall had a tannoy outside somewhere shouting about it. And there was like article after article about itch. What's it called, itch?
Well, I think we were talking about it on Mark Devlin's podcast and Lance mentioned that the reason there's a big fight over HRT is because they say they're using it all up on transvestites.
Right, more bollocks, yeah. No, but that's more bollocks, isn't it? That's more... Yeah.
Just nonsense. More than any antibiotics, no bog roll, no pasta shapes, no...
pasta shapes. But isn't it funny, right? And, you know, we don't pretend that we're clairvoyant, but... So that HRT thing was clearly a thing, right? And then it turns out women are going into the menopause earlier. Yeah. And now you've got this.
Well... It was quite a known side effect that girls, when they had the jab, they would just, I think it was Nick, my wife's cousin, was constant bleeding.
Which so then like you go to the doctor and they say...
So like she ran a period every day.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah. But is that a...
It's still a booster.
Right. might as well go the full circle.
And booster this year and flu tap.
But also, I know of people in the... Like I've said this before, but I remember Lou's gone on about this for... My missus has gone on about this for ages. That her mum was early having the menopause and she was 47.
Yeah.
I know of a few people now who are in the 40s and they've hit the menopause.
Yeah.
And they're having HRT.
Yeah.
And then they say you can give you a heart attack. So you don't have to be fucking smart to see the connection, do you?
No. The jab... This story is covering up that the jab causes that.
Well, also a fact, you've got other stories, which is 500 people a month die extra because NHS aren't quite covering and people are in corridors.
Yeah.
Why don't they just make the corridors?
But can you remember them stories before all this, people are asleep in corridors on a trolley
No, but now they can literally blame it on the 500 excess casualties.
500 people, yeah.
Yeah.
They can directly say it's that.
Yeah.
But why are they there in the first place?
Yeah. 3,000 died because of global climate warming change during the summer. Yeah. So you can just fucking pin it on anything you want.
Yeah.
You bunch of psycho cunts.
I know. It's strange though, because then people living in that camp in Calais can drink out of fucking puddles and eat their own shit and they're still alive. You know what I mean? They have to swim across channel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're all right. It's those healthy, fit ones that are dropping.
They need to bring a jibby jab out for puddle drinking.
well, you can wash in a puddle, you can drink in a puddle, you can boil your vegetables in a puddle. Puddles are very handy, unless there's the hottest drought since records began in 1856. Yeah,
puddles have dried up.
Then there's no puddles. some poodles, though. You can use poodles instead.
Don't take them outside. It's boiling.
Don't take them outside. It's boiling. It's too warm to have poodles or puddles. Martina Navratilova, same. She's just been diagnosed again. I don't know if all these people have had jib jabs. I'm sure people have been diagnosed with illnesses beforehand. But
again, like I said, it'll be forgotten about because those stories always say rapid.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I see that British MP Andrew Bridgden.
He should apologise.
I think he needs to apologise for
being
a realist.
Should apologise for questioning anything.
He said the British Heart Foundation. Well, the British Heart Foundation, that trustworthy organisation that tells you to eat scones and stuff and cream cake, dismissed MP's claims that it's covering up data that divot jib jabs. Harm the heart. So why hasn't anybody from the Heart Foundation come out and said the bleeding obvious? Why are more people having heart conditions? That's when you know that these charities are just unscrupulous bastards.
You know what, Fire? I don't want to point out the obvious, and this is really obvious, but if you listen on, you know, UK column, I've interviewed a few people who've been damaged.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that guy who had his legs cut off, I think, and that other guy who's in a bad way were a sports. And I was just looking at the news and I just think, why have nobody has interviewed those people? These human beings who...
The story don't back the story, does it? That's why.
No, but I mean, it's just, I know it's obvious for me to say this, but it's just mind-blowing.
It is. Well, again, Chris, thousands of people stand outside BBC
offices. Shame on you.
Shame on you. And even on the news.
Or in even on the BBC.
Yeah.
Never mind any other alternative news channels. Yeah.
Zelensky, World War Z, can go over to America in his green T-shirt. He's got an array.
The only man
t-shirt.
To go to fucking...
Yeah. Freshly ironed.
The only man to go to Washington without a suit on.
With his Action Man T-shirt on. Yeah. And his eagle eyes. And
don't you start slagging off Zelensky to me, dog. He's a fucking hero.
Well, Russians
that man is a hero.
They were having
Sean Pentum.
Yeah, they're having New Year's Eve parties in Kiev.
Right.
And I thought Russians were bombing everywhere.
They weren't fireworks, they were bombs fire.
Oh, that, right.
It were a fucking air bomb.
Right. who supplied them fireworks?
We did. NATO. England. Came out of our tax pounds.
Yeah. An air bomb repeater.
They weren't rockets. They were rockets.
Yeah.
Mini rockets.
One story is that in Daily Fail, that return of the masks, health chiefs urge people to wear face coverings and say anybody feeling ill should stay at home.
Yeah.
In echo of pandemic era, Chris, era. Yeah. As medics claim, the NHS is under more pressure than at the height of COVID.
Because everyone's in a corridor, no one's actually in the ward.
Yeah, they're all in the corridor.
Corridor and ambulance so what we're saying is, with ill people.
They're under more pressure than the height of COVID when the hospitals were empty.
Yeah. Not hard, is it?
It's not really hard, no. There, nobody there apart from fucking nurses doing TikTok dancing.
Yeah. I'm not going to be wearing a mask, sorry. Never worn one.
Car park were empty. Nobody were allowed to go to A&E. Were closed. So if you fell, broke your leg, that were it. You had to stay at home. Have an anodine.
Put a Rambo splint.
Have an hot bath. Yeah. But they're busier than the COVID era. COVID era.
It's an era now.
Yeah. COVID era, Chris.
To add some drama to it.
Some more drama.
I'm not going to wear a mask. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, I know people call it clown world, but I think it's a bit more than that. It hurts your head. This is how they win, don't they? They beat you by being repetitively numb, boring information that's of belief. People just give in because they're sick of it.
Yeah. And bureaucracy.
Just nonsense. Yeah. Just, and fortunately, there are people like us and people listening who just see it for what it is and just shake your head at people just carrying on like there's no happening. I were around at a birthday party, family members, Ewan, we had a bit of a birthday party, his first birthday yesterday. I had to go. And to hear some of the guys talking there, I'm thinking, am I just turned up on the set of fucking Towie?
What were they saying?
Well, they're a bit younger than me. I'm an old bastard, but I was talking about teeth. I was taking the piss out of one of them's teeth, right? As I do.
What wrong with his teeth?
Well, big lads, he's got a bald spot at the back, and we're talking about his wedding where he sprayed some of that fake hair on. So, I mean, he gets me, obviously.
Oh, did it? Did it really?
Yeah. It was funny because his Nick's sister, she was rushing, getting a dress ready and rushing around, getting it dress sorted out. And he's trying to spray this fucking fake hair on, right?
In front of you?
No, I wasn't there, no.
Right.
Anyway, she said, does it look all right, that? She said, you need air there for it to stick to you, though.
So he's got like a shiny black spot on his head?
Yeah, like a bird had shit on him.
Oh, dear.
So he said, I'm washing it off, trying to get ready for it. Anyway, but I was thinking to myself, right, him and his two mates there, one of them were best man and stuff like that there. And I'm thinking...
Pray a bit more on.
But they're, 10 years younger than me? I'm thinking, they're openly having a conversation about that, talking about having the teeth done in Turkey, right? the gnashers that people...
So they're talking about having the teeth done in Turkey and spraying...
I said to them,
you're the nutter.
Kids were there, so I couldn't...
swear.
Yeah. So I said, are you listening to yourselves here? I mean, you're on about having your teeth done, air transplants, right? Spraying fake joke hair on like David Beckham, right?
You're the nutter, fatter. You're the nutter.
You've seen them teeth, haven't you? Like, Buzz Lightyear teeth.
Yeah,
them,
like fucking James Coburn.
Yeah.
Like Hollywood big, white.
Ding! Yeah.
Like fresh Tom, white. Like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like he's got fucking Skeletor Steve put in his head.
Yeah. Like the teeth are too big for the face.
Yeah.
They're all going to Turkey for him. So he said his mate came back from Turkey on holiday and he said everyone had these massive teeth.
Wherever I'm playing.
even Aerostar.
So we just got fucking massive white teeth.
Pilots.
A fucking centre back out of Hellraiser. Jesus Christ.
What's happening, man?
You're the nutter. This is the thing. You say out and you're the fucking nutter.
I tell you what was funny though, when we were at the wedding last February, right? He got drunk. He's a right nice lad, actually, and he got drunk. Obviously.
Is he the one with the teeth or the wig?
Spray on air.
No,
his mate had spray on air and all.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them had spray on air.
So it's obviously a it's a conversation piece, isn't it? Yeah, how much spray on air you got? You got any spray on air?
That's what I'm saying. I said, have you heard you a lot? You're meant to be blokes, man, from Yorkshire. Yeah. You're talking about spray on air.
How much is it? I might get some. I'm fucking balding.
No, I think you need more than spray on air.
I can cover them with Black Nicholson.
I don't know, Vileda mop.
Just dye it black
or a coconut summer. Yeah. Your hair's gone like that chimp off PG Tips.
I've had the same receding airline for about fucking 10 years.
Telling me that last 10 years.
Yeah.
A Brilla pad. But anyway, he stood up, he was talking to people and they were getting quite loud. You know, like you get loud when you've had a few drinks. Louder and louder. And he said, I've got to say, Dom, if it hadn't been for you, I'd have ended up having them fucking jabs.
Right. Oh, what? All right, in the middle of the wedding.
Yeah.
And who was he?
Look around like this. Hey, no, he was a bridegroom.
Right. Oh, fuck.
He didn't care.
Thanks for that. No, but you're thinking, thanks for that.
Well, I don't care, do I? Why do I care? No, Nick were like this.
You should have stood up and gone, sheepfarm.co.uk.
But yeah, so it's good that I made a difference. Sadly, I haven't made a difference on his spray on air.
Yeah, no, you talk about spray on air as much as you do the fucking sheep do.
I know. I found it odd that now it's just normal conversation. Botox, lip fillers, spray on air.
Fucking pussification of the nation.
Painting, if you've got a bald head, you paint that light, you know, that blue shite that somebody else I know had that done, yeah. And it went wrong. And it's just like a continuation of, it's like normal now, transforming yourself.
It's Kardashian culture, isn't it? You know,
I remember in the 80s, when Joan Collins used to have piss ripped out of her for having it done.
For having fake tits, so they blow up on an airplane.
Yeah,
I remember they did. That was a news article.
That was a story, wasn't it? A bat blew up on.
No,
Bill Gates has got them.
Do you know what though? I mean, if you want to,
I've no problem with it. I'm just saying how the conversation's changed.
It's also and it's also the hypocrisy as well.
I mean, you keep your Adidas three strands, you know, like Bobby Charlton strands.
Well, I'm not combing them over yet. Still combing back.
No, those 3 years. Yours actually looks all right. You're not combing it round. It's not. It's
distinguished.
Leonard Rossiter.
This tells me a little distinguished.
Extinguished. Is that what you call her when she's been playing football?
Yeah.
I can't see her in a football kit. I just can't see her in a football kit. But anyway. Okay, then. That's our one, finito. We'll see you if you join us in the next hour, where we're going to be discussing the Stop Oil Knobheads.
Yeah, it's going to get a bit deeper next hour because that was literally half an hour of us talking shite.
I think we covered a few good spots. The hooks and stuff were good. But yeah, we'll see you next time or next weekend. Bye.
Right.
Before my